You know, the Bible does teach that we do have an adversary. And, you know, Paul wanted to go to some certain places in the New Testament, and the Bible says that Satan hindered him. And the Bible also teaches that what we see can affect our hearts. And so I'm not surprised there's a problem with the PowerPoint. But let's just trust the Lord to work it out and try not to be distracted by them trying to fix that thing. But let's read in Matthew chapter 9. I want to be a blessing to you tonight, though I may have never met you before. If you're saved, you're my brother and sister in Christ. Amen. And this is the Lord's church. Christ is the head. And I want to encourage you. Evangelists are for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's my desire tonight. I want to take the Word of God. I want to communicate to you a truth from the Word of God. And when you leave the doors tonight, I want you to be encouraged, challenged, and blessed by the Scriptures. Do you mind if I take my coat off, brother? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to visit with us. Father, I'm very much blessed to be in the house of God, and I could be discouraged, but I'm not going to be. Father, you are far above all principality and power, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And Father, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would make your presence known by your Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the church of God is a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is a body, and a body without the Spirit is dead. And so, Father, will you, by your presence, bless your people? And Father, may we be encouraged in this matter of faith. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. The Bible says, "Then came to him the disciples of John." Now, this is John the Baptist. You know, the Bible teaches in Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me." I believe that gospel preaching, the New Testament gospel preaching, began with a Baptist preacher whose name was John. And the disciples from which Jesus used to start his first church in Jerusalem were the disciples of John the Baptist. They were Baptist disciples from John. And Jesus Christ used those people that John had prepared, and he used those men to start his first New Testament church. Do you believe that? Amen. And here are disciples of John. They come to Jesus Christ and they ask him a question. They say, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft or often, but thy disciples fast not?" From verses 15 to 17, Jesus Christ answers their question. We're not going to look at the answer, but he answers them in verses 15 to 17. Verse 18, while he spake, while Jesus Christ is answering their question, these things, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. What I'd like to encourage you tonight is concerning the subject, faith that motivates God to action. Faith that motivates God to action. Amen. Faith is important, my friend, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we, as saved people, are to live by faith. So, I want you to see what kind of faith motivates God to action. And listen, brother and sister, listen, if you will do what they did here, and apply it in the circumstances in which you find yourselves, you can motivate God to work on your behalf. Amen. Even in 2012. Amen. Because God is still the same God. So Jesus Christ is speaking. He's answering their question. And the Bible says that there came this ruler and worshipped him. Now, have you ever wondered, What does it mean to worship God? The Bible talks much about worship. What does it mean to worship God? Does it mean we come into a sanctuary like this and sing? Well, we can worship God in our singing. But what does it mean to worship God? Do we just come into the house of God and say, "We worship you"? I mean, do we just say we worship you and therefore now we're worshiping God? What does it mean to worship God? This man came and worshiped him, but how did he worship him? What was he doing in worshiping Christ? The answer is in the text. The Bible says he worshiped him saying. You see, what he said is attached to the worship. So he comes in, he interrupts Jesus Christ. It says, while he spake. Jesus is teaching. He's giving instruction. While he's speaking, the man comes in, this certain ruler, it's as if he interrupts the class or interrupts the session, and the Bible says he immediately engages in worship. He's worshiping Christ, saying. What does he say that is attributed to worship? He said, "My daughter is even now dead. Come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live." Boy, that doesn't come to my mind as worship. I wouldn't think that would be worship. But he worshiped him saying. I learned something about what worship is. Worship, folks, is coming to God through Jesus Christ, is coming to our Lord, and worship is asking Jesus Christ to do something that is humanly impossible. And when we come to God and we ask Him to do something that's beyond our control, beyond our strength, beyond our means, and you can apply that in wherever it needs to be applied in your life, but when you come to God and say, "God, this is beyond my control, it's beyond my influence, it's beyond my means, it's beyond my resources, I don't have the power to do this. I'm coming to you because you and you alone can do this for me." And when we do that, we're worshiping Him. How is that? Because, brethren, we are acknowledging who Jesus Christ is. He's God. And I mentioned in my prayer that Jesus Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And when you ascribe that to the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, you are worshiping the Lord. Because you're saying you are God, you alone are God, and besides Him there is none else. And what was the problem here? What was the situation? He said, "My daughter is even now dead." You know, I would hope that I would never have to experience that. Because my wife and I, we only have one child. And I'm thankful. I thank the Lord that God has given my wife and I a child. I didn't get married till I was 40 and my wife was 39. So there wasn't a lot of years to be having a big family. And I thought, man, I wonder if I'm ever going to get married. And I don't know, maybe my wife thought that, but we trusted the Lord. We waited on the Lord. And it was a lot longer wait than I would have chosen. But we waited on the Lord and He brought us to each other. And God blessed us with a child. And I'm so thankful that I can say I'm a daddy. Amen. And if the Lord took our child, that would be very difficult. And I trust that I would have the faith and just say, "Lord, not my will but thine be done." But it would be difficult. And so this man says, "My daughter is even now dead. Lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." That is some kind of faith. That is a trust. That is an expectation. That is substance of things hoped for and is evidence of things not seen. For him to come and say, "Lord, I believe, in fact, I know that if you will lay your hand on her, my daughter will live." He was asking God to do something, Jesus to do something impossible with man. And by it, he was worshiping Christ. And he was putting faith in Christ. And what did Jesus do? Notice this in verse 19. And Jesus arose. He stopped what he was doing. He stopped the teaching. He stopped answering their questions. As soon as this man came and said what he said, that request and that faith struck a chord with the heart of God, and it motivated God to action. And Jesus, right here, right now, arose to his feet, just as if he forgot about everybody else. And look at this, brethren. And followed him. You know, I read in the New Testament, and you can read in the Old Testament, where we're to follow God. Amen. We follow. Are we not followers of Jesus Christ? And doesn't the Bible say we're to follow His footsteps? But here we see that Jesus Christ is following a man. What caused Him to do that? His faith. And He's following Him. Boy, that really had an impact upon our Lord. So, he's up and going. He's walking. He's following this man, this certain ruler. And while they're going there, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." Isn't that something? And you can read a companion gospel, and you're going to find where this woman who had an issue of blood 12 years was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And the Bible says that she had spent all her living. She had spent all that she had. She was not getting better. She was growing worse. So we could say that this woman had a terminal disease. This woman was not improving. Her health was not improving. It was declining. She was getting closer and closer and closer to her death. Now, when this woman had this issue of blood, she probably went to a physician at that time. They had doctors at that time. Luke was a physician. Amen. And the doctor looked at her and examined her and said, "Well, here's what you have. Here's what I think can make you better." And he prescribes and says, "Hey, take this remedy. Do this, do that." So the woman did it. She's nothing better. So she says, "Well, let me go try the other doctor across the village. Maybe he can help me." So she goes to the other doctor across the village and visits him. And he says, "Oh, you know, well, what I think you need to do is I think you need to do this and take this." "Oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you. Thank you. The other doctor across the village couldn't help me, but I just know that you can help me." No, she's nothing better. She's growing worse. But she had to pay for it, didn't she? Wouldn't it be nice if we only had to pay doctors if they really did help us? "I'm not better. I'm not paying you." She did this for years. And then she hears about Jesus Christ. Somebody spoke up. Somebody shared a testimony. Amen. Somebody told her about Jesus. And the Bible says here that she said within herself, "If I may but touch the hem," or touch the garment, "I shall be whole." This woman wasn't expecting much in some ways. She says, if I can just reach through the crowd and I just touch his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. Now, she knew there wasn't any magical power in the clothes themselves, but it was who was wearing the clothes. Her faith was in the person. And she wasn't, you know what, beloved, she was not even expecting to have a personal, private meeting with the Lord. But apparently she didn't feel like she needed to. She just knew that if I could just reach out and touch Him, there's going to be virtue, there's going to be power that's going to come out of the man and is going to make me whole. She said, I believe this. If I can just do this, I'll be whole. I'll have what I've been looking for. And you know what she did? She came to the point in her life where she was willing. Now, this is an important principle. She was willing to stop putting her faith in the natural, if I can say. I'm talking about on a temporal level. And she was willing to enter into the supernatural. She was willing to put her faith in Jesus Christ, whom she had to have heard about. And she was willing to put her faith in Him, knowing that He is the one who could answer her request. Now, I'm not making an application saying that you shouldn't go to the doctor and you only go to God. I'm not saying that. Because, as I said, Luke was a physician. The point is, the emphasis is where she was putting her faith and in whom she was putting her faith. Now, God can use medical doctors. And God has given man a mind, and there's technology that God has allowed us to arrive at. You know, there's a man in our church. He was having heart problems. He had he was born with a defect. It was in his heart. It wasn't discovered until later in his life. And so he was having some problems, shortness of breath and this and that. And they discovered there was a hole or something in one of his valves. And so he had open heart surgery. They cut him open. They stopped his heart. They put his heart on the table, you know, and cut it and did all this and that. And they put in a pig valve, a valve from a pig. And then they sewed him up, put the heart back in, you know, put the heart back in and then sewed him up. And then they took the jumper cables and zzz, got his heart going. And now he's walking around. And isn't that amazing? But their faith was in the Lord. What happened when this woman came and said this? Well, Jesus is already following this certain ruler. He's already going to this certain ruler. And then this woman comes and says what she says within herself. She reaches out and touches Him. And the Bible says in verse 22, look at this. Jesus turned Him about. And what does He say to her? Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You were willing to trust Me. You were willing to come to Me. You were willing in your own heart to cast your care upon Me. You were willing to trust Me to do for you what you could not do for yourself. You were willing to trust Me. And I am going to gladly reward you for you putting your faith in Me. And Jesus turned to this woman. And she got exactly what she was hoping for. Verse 23. And by the way, don't you think that when this man Jesus was following this man, and when Jesus turned Him about and said this to this woman, don't you think that the man whose daughter was dead, don't you think that even gave Him a turbo charge in His faith? Amen. Oh, if He can do that for her, I know He's going to heal my daughter. Verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. Sir, I don't know who you think you are, but you're crazy. She's not sleeping. She's dead. No, she's not sleeping. Or she's not dead. She's sleeping. You're crazy, man. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, He went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. You know what Jesus said in verse 24? He said, give place. You know, this daughter was the daughter of this certain ruler. And there were people there making a noise and so on, the minstrels and so on. And Jesus said, give place. Jesus didn't overstep the authority. Jesus was respectful to the man who had asked the request. Jesus didn't just barge in and take over. Jesus said, if you will give place, if you will trust Me to do this, I'll do it. And that's exactly what He did. And he raised this girl from the dead. That would have been something to see. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, notice what he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith. You know where the burden of responsibility lies on that? On us. It's according to our faith. Jesus was essentially giving these people a blank check. Jesus was saying, listen, Jesus was saying, "I will go, I will meet you, I will go as far as you are willing to trust me. It will be according to your faith. I will honor your faith, I will acknowledge your faith, and I will go as far as you will take me. Be it according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. We're talking this evening. I want you to see the kind of faith that motivates God to action. Now, maybe the situation you may find yourself in is not a physical problem. It's not, you know, obviously he's not going to raise somebody from the dead today. But you could be in the same kind of a situation, in circumstances that you find yourself that you have no power. You are, as it were, dead to do anything about getting yourself out of this circumstance or providing this need for something that you have. Listen, if you find yourself in a place that you can do nothing about, I would probably say that God placed you there just to show His power. You know those Israelites, when they were taken out of Egypt, God on purpose led them to the Red Sea, where there's a sea behind them, the armies of Egypt advancing behind him and the people of Israel. And what could they do? They couldn't go out into the water. They couldn't turn back. There was no place to go. And they came to Moses and saying, "Moses, help us, help us, help us." They were in a frenzy. They were going simply by what they could see. And what did Moses say? He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Amen? Just like you sang, the lady sang tonight. Now, it may be hard to stand still. You know what we try to do, brother? When we find ourselves in a pickle, we take the matters into our own hands and we try to push and shove and we try to force and we try to make things happen to get us out of this uncomfortable situation, to get us out of this trial, to get us out of this problem. We try to do everything. We take it in our hands because we want to deliver ourselves from this tribulation, from this trial. And we don't like to be out of our comfort zone. And God may be the one who puts you there, who puts you in that straitjacket so He could show Himself strong on your behalf. And God says to you and I, stand still, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Because you know what? If you're not standing still, you're not going to see it. If you get your fingerprints all over it and you get your hands all over it, you're not going to see me at work. You're going to try to do things by the power of the flesh. And God says, "I want to do this on your behalf. Will you trust me? Will you believe me? Will you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith?" You know, here's three different kinds of examples of situations that were impossible for man to do anything about. And here's faith that motivated God to action. In verse 19, Jesus arose. In verse 22, Jesus turned. Verse 29, Jesus touched their eyes. In every case, in all three cases, it was the faith that motivated God to action. And in all three cases, these three individuals, and actually it was five because there was two blind men, they got what they needed and they received what they were asking. And brethren, we can do the same if we will put our faith in the Lord, and God will be faithful to provide the things that we need. And when we make our requests unto God, we have the petitions that He desires of us. You know, this world is so religious, with false religion. And I'm not talking just about Christianity. I mean, there's Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Shintoism and all of that. And the Islam religion is one of the fastest, it probably is the fastest growing religion that seems to be taking over our own country. And let me say this. You know, it's not... This world is full of religion. It's not what religious people do for their God. It's not what even Christian people who say they're Christian. It's not even what Christian people do in the name of Jesus that they do for their God that sets God's people apart. It's what God does for His people. That's the difference. God's not going to do anything with people of a false religion. God's not going to do anything for people in false Christianity or in false churches. And we can be busy about doing this and that and this and that. But listen, lost people do what they call good works. I mean, they're not really good in the eyes of God. But there are lost people doing all kinds of humanitarian things and in the name of Jesus, doing wonderful works and this and that. But listen, that's not the indication. That's not necessarily a proof that those people even know God. It's what God does for us. And that's why Jesus said His house shall be called a house of prayer. Well, I've seen God do some impossible things in my life. And if you've been trusting the Lord, I'm sure there's been some highlights and some milestones that you could testify in your Christian life of what God's done for you when you've trusted Him. And I'm sure you could give testimonies of times you didn't trust Him and you made a mess of things. Well, here's a faith that motivates God to action. That's the kind of faith that God will be pleased with. You know, I don't know where you're at with missions, and whether you support me or not, you still have a responsibility as a local church to reach your world. And you may have to take on some missionaries by faith because you're going to believe God to do what you maybe cannot do. You probably have faith promise here, I would assume. But the Christian life has to be lived by faith. We've got to trust God in all applications. Amen? God wants to do that for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for the examples that we give in the Word of God that we see here, that You've given in the Word of God of what faith is. We even see what worship is, an aspect of worship. And Father, we find ourselves in situations sometimes that are pressing down upon us, and we may not even have answers. We may have to go through a dark valley. We can't see too far ahead of us. And Father, You may put us in a place where there's no way to turn, nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, humanly speaking. But Father, You've placed us there so we could see the salvation of God. Father, if there's somebody here who's discouraged, maybe they're looking at what they can see. They're looking at the temporal. Perhaps they're looking to the world for their way out, for their solution, when they need to be trusting God. Father, increase the people's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that's what was preached tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Would you stand?